Sounds True presents How to Meditate, Session 3, with Pema Chodron.
By this time the gong is probably rung, but you still go through the settling process, and you begin when you're ready to begin. And knowing that you're beginning, have a light intention. It's a simple intention of what it is you're going to do for the next 20 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever period you're going to be sitting. So today, think that I'm training, spending this time training in being present. And that means being faithful to the technique of always coming back, but doing that with a very friendly, relaxed, gentle attitude. I'm training in relaxation, but also in being faithful to the technique. When I wander off, I will do my best to come back. When I come back, I'll do my best not to be harsh about it, or at least to notice that harshness and lighten up. I'll bring as much precision and relaxation into this process of just training in being present. And with that intention, or something like that, you start knowing that you're starting. So what's happening? Any time during your meditation, you can, as I was saying in the other talks, be your own meditation instructor. So we're going to continue with this period of meditation. But you can be asking yourself some questions. If your mind is very wild, you're obsessing about something, just very, very difficult to bring it back, how could you try to balance that? Well, generally speaking, the instruction is to relax more. So you can actually do very deep in-breaths with a sense of relaxing and being very spacious on the out-breath. Traditionally, it's called connecting with the windy quality of the breath. So see if that would help your mind settle down by bringing in a sense of spaciousness and relaxation by emphasizing sort of a very spacious in, breathing in deep and relaxing outward. See if that helps. Usually tightening up doesn't help with wildness, but you could experiment. Maybe in your case it would. Try lowering the gaze so there's less distraction and actually counting the out-breaths up to 10 or up to 21. Does that make your mind more tight and a sort of rebellious, or does that actually help? They say it makes it tighter, but in your case it might not. So experiment with loosening up or lightening up. Experiment with tightening up if the traditional approach doesn't work for you. And you can try other things as well, coming into your body, and that when your mind wanders off, instead of coming back to your out-breath, come back to your body. Come back to the sense of body, and very earthy and grounded and feeling. I mean, in this case, pain could be good. It could keep you present. So what I'm leading to here is, don't just sit here like a lump all morning and be just sort of ignorantly kind of not even knowing what's happening. Some sense of alertness about what's happening with your mind, and does it need any fine-tuning? Maybe it needs nothing. It's just fine. Just keep being faithful to the technique with a lot of relaxation. Definitely if you find that you're being very, very harsh, definitely bring gentleness in. It would be a shame to cultivate years and years of harshness when you could be cultivating moment by moment maitri, loving kindness, to your situation, and you could be cultivating an unbiased mind. If you're very sort of dull, not necessarily drowsy, but just kind of vague and dull, you might find that comfortable, sort of going inward into a kind of blank state. But that's really not going to have any transformative effect on your life. It's almost like avoidance meditation. Going into sort of inward, into a blank state or just a very kind of pleasant state, but it's definitely no awareness of what's happening in your environment, no awareness of really your thoughts or anything. So if you find yourself dull in any form at all, what should you do if it seems like a problem? Well, you might raise the eye gaze a little bit. Closed eyes will definitely increase that sense of dullness. Or low eye gaze will probably increase that sense of dullness. So raising the eye gaze a bit, bringing in more sense of the brightness of the room, the colors, not to the point of distraction, but just bringing some brightness in. Or again, try what happens when you're dull like that. Usually they would say, be more precise. So in other words, more faithful to the technique in terms of maybe start to be mindful of your abdomen rising and falling, or count the breaths, something more precise, or feel the breath go in and out your nostrils, something to sort of bring more mindfulness to your meditation. That's the traditional way of working with this sort of a blank state or woolly, dull state. But in your case, if that doesn't work, then try. Maybe it would help you to breathe in deeply and breathe out more spaciously. So you could try the more spacious, relaxed approach and see if that helps. Sometimes nothing changes it, you know. And then you could just laugh at that and say, well, this is the experience of meditators for 2 billion years. You know. But the idea here is not to control the situation particularly, but be your own meditation instructor and feel that you can take an interest in your state of mind, and if it feels like it needs some fine-tuning, doing so. And if it doesn't work, then just surrendering to the process and being as gentle and faithful to the technique as you're capable of doing in any one sitting period. Knowing that actually you cannot control how many thoughts will come, and you cannot control whether they're going to distract you, and you cannot control how long you're going to be away. But you can be faithful to the technique when you realize what's happening, and you can bring in the aspect of gentleness. If you're falling asleep, which nobody seems to be doing yet this morning, but it probably will happen, then try to bring more oxygen to your brain, readjust your posture, and try to sit more upright. Bring a sense of confidence and sort of uprightness and enthusiasm. Try to bring those qualities into the meditation. Try to practice in a way that minimizes sense of struggle. Trungpa Rinpoche actually said that struggle is the root of suffering. Even in the most profound sense, struggling against our situation. So we're not talking about struggling against what's happening with your mind, but just being more awake to what's happening and realizing you can, that your mind is workable and you can fine-tune it if you feel you need to. Again, if you need to itch or move, do so very, very mindfully. Don't itch or move until you kind of recognize that you need to do that or are planning to do that, and then do it so that nothing is done, or you, at least in this period of meditation, you're training and being very awake, very alert, knowing what's happening, and minimizing the sense of sort of automatic pilot and mindless movement or whatever. Okay. So in the first week, the emphasis was on stabilizing the mind. That aspect of meditation, which today I'm calling being faithful to the technique, or it's also called precision, but it's the aspect of always coming back. Now, I've been around long enough to know that probably quite a few of you have a preference for not coming back. It isn't just that you go off, which is natural, but actually you like to go off, because it's relaxing or it's entertaining. And coming back, face it, it can be very boring. Especially if you do hour after hour. In any case, particularly if we have a lot of pain in our lives, it can be so comforting to just go off. Everything from just becoming distracted to actually dissociating. And, you know, literally never being present. Just going off. Not just in meditation, but throughout the day. So this is really training gradually in realizing there's something wonderful to come back to. And this wonderfulness may not be all that entertaining. In fact, it's not entertaining. And this wonderfulness could be quite boring initially, and you want to get away from it. But really, we are coming back to the presence. And this is another way of saying coming back to the open, unfabricated nature of each moment. So the first week I talked about stabilizing or coming back or accuracy. Today, what I'm calling being faithful to the technique. In the second week, we continued with the same technique, and obviously that stabilizing is ongoing. No matter what practice you're doing, you're always training in that. To the degree that you can be present, to that degree something deepens. To that degree you have more awareness of neurosis and a habitual pattern. To that degree you have more experience of open, fresh mind. The next week I emphasized or brought in the aspect of gentleness or relaxation. warmth, kindness, friendliness. You could be quite harsh if you just emphasize the precision or the faithfulness to the technique. And even with our preference often to be elsewhere, even so, we often, all of us, also have a tendency to be harsh. Harsh with ourselves. Not everybody, but generally speaking, this is pretty much the norm. So beginning to notice your tone of voice when you're labeling thinking, I mentioned this, and being very, have a sense of feeling the breath going out or feeling the breath going in and going out, but very relaxed and bringing as much gentleness into the meditation as possible, realizing that we're training each time we label, we're training in a non-judgmental mind, a kind mind, a friendly attitude. Training basically in Maitri, loving kindness to oneself, and then that expands to others. So softness or gentleness being a key component. And I mentioned the three support words, which were gentleness, sense of humor, and patience. That these three are the three support words for your practice in terms of keeping it lighter. So seeing that we're spaced out, seeing that we're wild, but doing that with patience, gentleness, sense of humor. So this week I wanted to emphasize the aspect of letting go. So just as we actually, if someone says relax, that can be an impossible task. We actually need to give some instructions on how to relax, such as feel the breath and breathe in deeply, relax outward, or be gentle when you label. Or one thing I haven't said before about this word relax is you could find any tension in your body, particularly the belly, and just relax the belly, that tension in the belly, or anywhere in your body. So we train in relaxing rather than someone just saying relax and then we know what to do. Similarly, we train in letting go. If someone says letting go, most of us do not have much of a experiential sense of what that really means. And even so, it's not always possible to do it. But nevertheless, the practice helps us. It is training in letting go. So I'm going to say first something about the view of letting go, why we practice actually all these aspects, and then I'm going to tell you a bit about how the actual instruction that we're following trains us in letting go. Or opening would be another way of saying letting go. Very close to relaxation, actually, maybe even a synonym in some way. So the view is an important one. Whether we're studying Buddhism or doing Buddhist practice, we should realize that the essence of the practice is that we misperceive reality. We actually have a misperception of reality. And what we're doing is training in being able to perceive reality correctly. And this is more than a lifetime's work. So how do we do that? How do we train in perceiving reality correctly? Well, we do it by training in relaxing our mind. Enlightenment, full enlightenment, is actually perceiving reality with an open, unfixated mind. It's nothing more than that, actually. And you and I also, we have experiences of open, unfixated mind. At a time of shock or surprise, we experience it. At a time of awe or wonder, we experience it. It's usually in small moments, we might not even notice it. But everyone experiences this open, unfixated mind. But an enlightened, so-called enlightened, if we were completely awake, that would be our constant perception of reality. We would always perceive from an open, unfettered mind. It's helpful to realize this. This open, unfettered mind has many names, but let's use the term Buddha nature. So Buddha nature is open, unfettered mind, and it's perceiving reality with an open, unfettered mind. That reality is very different from the one that we usually perceive. You could say that as an image for ego, it's as if we're in a box, and the box has a tiny little slit, and we perceive reality out of that little slit, and we think that's how it is. And then as we meditate, particularly if we train in the way that I'm suggesting, if we train in precision, if we train in gentleness, and if we train in letting go, which I'll be talking about more today, if we bring relaxation as well as faithfulness to the technique into the equation, if we work with open eyes and sometimes a lower gaze, sometimes a higher gaze, but if we work with being awake and present, and we train that way moment after moment in our lives, what begins to happen is that the crack begins to seem to get bigger, and it's as if we perceive more, a wider perspective. It might just be that we notice that we're sometimes awake and sometimes we're asleep, or we notice that our mind goes off and our mind comes back. We begin to notice. The first big discovery, of course, is that we think so much. Until you meditate, you don't realize how much you think. So you just begin to have what's called prajna, more prajna. The crack seems to be getting bigger, and our experience is that we're just a little more awake, a little more aware of what's going on. And we feel that our situation gradually, if we have this experience of the crack getting bigger and beginning to see from a bigger perspective, then we begin to trust the techniques that we're given and the teachings that we're given more and more. And there's a growing sense of confidence that we do have something to come back to. And gradually over time, the crack just gets bigger and bigger until there's a sense, I suppose a fully awakened sense would be that you're out of the box altogether. And our experience is of the crack or the window getting larger and larger. And maybe we have moments, really only to the degree that we are able to handle them, of being out of the box altogether. But believe me, if that happened too soon, it would freak us out. We're not ready to perceive out of the box usually right away. But we move in that direction, and as we move more and more in that direction, it's called becoming more and more relaxed with uncertainty, more and more relaxed with groundlessness, more and more relaxed with not having walls around us to keep us protected in a little box or cocoon. Less threatened and more relaxed, relaxing more into the space. But enlightenment isn't that we go someplace else or that we attain something we don't now have. It's just that the blinders start to come off, or the ability to see becomes, the perspective becomes wider. And so the view of our meditation that we're doing, to change the metaphor slightly, is that we are uncovering the true state, or uncovering Buddha nature. And this is actually important, because each day when you sit down, you can recognize that it's a process of gradually uncovering something that's here. It's not a process of acquiring something new. And so that's why relaxation, letting go are so important. You can't uncover something by harshness or uptightness. That covers it over, you see. So there has to be this aspect of relaxation, and yet we still are faithful to whatever technique we're doing, stabilizing the mind, bringing out the sharp clarity of mind. It needs to be accompanied by relaxation and openness. So we're uncovering Buddha nature. You know, you could say this box that we're in, it doesn't really exist, but from our point of view, it's all the obstructions, the habitual patterns, the conditioning, and so it feels very, very real to us. But basically, we begin to see through it till it has less and less power to obstruct us. And next week I'll be talking even more about that. But today I wanted to introduce this view of Buddha nature, that we're uncovering our natural state. And it really helps to remember that when we're practicing, that it's here, it's right here. And if we could be relaxed enough and awake enough, we would experience it. And we will experience it, and we do experience it bit by bit, slowly. And we can trust this gradualness and the quality of patience and sense of humor, because if it came too fast, we wouldn't really be ready for it. It would be like a drug experience where you have this mind-blowing experience, but then you can't integrate it into your life. It doesn't have any relevance to the disappointments and unfortunate things of our lives. So with that in mind, this is a process of relaxing more and more into the natural state. So as we do the practice, first of all, I notice as I look around that some people still practice with their eyes closed, and probably you've been trained this way and it's difficult to change. But I'm going to ask that for the rest of the morning to please keep the eyes open, because there's no point in following the technique just partially, because the whole thing works together. So with relaxation and sense of being present and the letting go, the open eyes is actually a very important part of that. So letting go, well, relaxing the body, that's part of it, particularly relaxing the abdomen. When you sit down in any given period and throughout your period, if you notice that your stomach is clenching, your belly, it's very, very common, relax the belly. Then the breath. That feeling of the breath going out, relaxing with the breath as it goes out. Now, in terms of letting go, actually the instruction of just out-breath emphasizes the letting go quality more. If you're working with in and out-breath, let it be very relaxed and have a sense of letting go as you breathe out, and then relaxing inward as well. And this is like the mountain yogi instruction of breath like the wind. Sense of not holding on to that breath. It's, as I say, not thinking about the breath, not concentrating on the breath, but being the breath going out, or feeling the breath going out, or allowing the breath as it goes in and out. Some sense of, Suzuki Roshi used the image of like a swinging door in space, that it just opens one way and opens the other way, but the doorway is like in outer space. That's swinging back and forth. That's a nice image for relaxing and letting go. But if we work with just out-breath, it even has more quality of letting go. So the way that works, and this is the instruction that Trungpa Rinpoche always gave, feeling the breath going out and dissolving into the space. Then as the breath comes in, there's more sense of just keeping your awareness outward, or at least just light attention. More emphasis on the breath going out and dissolving into space. Mixing mind with space, he used to call it. And what he said there is, there's a moment where there actually is no technique, and so you might experience a small gap there, or a letting go. If you really experience that, it might be accompanied by panic or groundless feeling. Then know that you've actually experienced it, if that happens. That's okay. Because it's like breathing out and letting the mind mix with space is like stepping out for a moment, letting go of control, not holding on to anything. So if you're working with the in and out breath, use the swinging door and space metaphor of just letting go on the out breath, letting go on the in breath, just the door swinging back and forth in space. If you're working with just the out breath, it could be the same sense of breath going out, but then it's a sense of breath dissolving into space. The breath is like the breath sweeps away all the clouds that cover the open space of mind. And you can just rest there. So breath is a big help with letting go. You can use the breath to emphasize the quality of relaxing outward and letting go. Not holding on, not controlling, just letting go. Then thoughts come up. Gentleness helps so much. In fact, it's an essential factor of letting go. The attitude is that it's just thoughts, just like clouds in the sky. That the mind is like the vast universe, like unlimited space, like the sky. And the thoughts are like clouds in the sky. We make a big deal out of them, but they have no real substance. Like bubbles. Like a water bubble. Like an illusion, like a dream. So when you realize you've been thinking, you can just touch that thought and let it dissolve back into the vast blue sky. So that's the attitude of letting go. It's not like shooting down the thoughts like clay pigeons. Or cutting the thoughts with a sword. Or smashing the thoughts over the head with a hammer. There's really nothing there. You just let them dissolve back into the vast blue sky. Or like touching a bubble with a feather. So that's the idea of letting go of the thoughts, letting them dissolve, letting them just dissolve back into the space. So from this perspective, there's a lot of room. And anytime your mind settles and you feel relaxed, then bring in this quality more and more. This is hard to do if your mind is completely wild and rushing all over the place, but you could try it. Try and see if bringing in more the quality of letting go at the end of the breath, touching the thoughts, letting them dissolve, see if that helps the wild mind to settle down, like taming a wild horse or a wild monkey, making friends with a wild monkey. But definitely, if your mind is already somewhat still, as it will be in certain periods of meditation or on certain days, then let go at the end of the out-breath when you realize you're thinking, whether it's that complete fantasy level, whether it's just the thoughts taking you off for a little bit, or whether it's just those little bubbles that don't even distract you, those three levels, just touch those thoughts with a bubble and let them go, or let them just dissolve back into the space. So in this sense, you get a real experience of uncovering Buddha nature, and you don't have to say, is this Buddha nature? Then that's definitely would be an obstacle. So the less fixation on good and bad, the less fixation on right and wrong meditation, the less uptight about wild mind or drowsiness, the more relaxation along with faithfulness to the technique that you can bring in, the more you can let go at the end of the out-breath and let go of those thoughts.